It's the 6th of November. Today is business and what's the other thing?
Security. And one story that should have been in government and somehow made it into this list. So let's do that first.
China launches blockchain propaganda app that measures Communist Party loyalty. It's like a quest system. A Pokemon? It's like you collect China's party loyalty points through your actions and participation.
No, you're thinking of the Jinping app. This is different.
Oh.
All this does, this is really a stupid use of the blockchain. When you join the Communist Party, you record why you joined the Communist Party and why you love communism, and it stores it forever in the blockchain.
That's not super useful.
I have a feeling that somebody high in power, maybe the man himself there, Winnie himself, said, we need to harness the blockchain. Bring me a presentation on how we're going to do that. And they're like, oh, we got nothing.
You know, some mad lad at BlizzCon wore a Winnie the Pooh costume.
Well, speaking of BlizzCon, what a perfect lead-in, because that's the next story. That happened, and people protested.
Protest hit BlizzCon over Hong Kong controversy. So, yeah, this is, I think we predicted this. I mean, it's just too close to BlizzCon for the people not to have forgotten the outrage.
Well, they announced it. They planned it. But it said dozens. Now, dozens could be a lot of people, but the pictures didn't look like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Seemed like it was a little underwhelming. But they did show up. They did protest. I saw that you could get a free t-shirt that said, like, you know, support Hong Kong or something like that.
Down with this sort of thing.
And Blizzard did respond. They, I guess, felt pressured enough that they actually, part of the presentation was talking about this.
Blizzard says, we have failed in our purpose after the Hearthstone Hong Kong controversy. Blizzard's president apologized directly to fans, like, we didn't live up to things. It was a very heartfelt, very convincing. So, of course, they immediately rescinded the ban, right?
In fact, the ban has not been rescinded, to my knowledge, which is weird because, like, an apology...
You would think.
For something that's in your power to fix, and yet you refuse to fix it, but apologize anyway?
Oh, this wasn't handled well, but it's fine now.
The PR team could have worked harder on this, is basically what he's saying. But yeah, now they did walk back, though. They gave the guy his money back. But 6 months from a year... down from a year, he is still banned.
There are also several other people that are banned.
The college students, yes. And that guy was the world champion, right? Or yeah, at least the champion of whatever event that was. So he would have definitely been at BlizzCon.
Yeah.
And he couldn't be at BlizzCon where they were giving a presentation about how they were sorry that he's not at BlizzCon.
Can you imagine what a PR event it would have been if they'd had him on stage? Like, he could have met the president of Blizzard.
If you're him, though, do you show up?
Well, it depends. Like, I think that Blizzard, like, if Blizzard wanted to, like, play the most evil card, they could have said, we want to have you on stage, we screwed up, and we're gonna whatever, and then when they got him on stage, they were just like, no.
Or just hustle him into a van and send him off to Shenzhen to get his kidneys removed.
No, we're not gonna kill you, but we are gonna take one of your kidneys.
You're gonna be on dialysis playing Hearthstone for the rest of your life in a small room. But that sucks if you are a professional Hearthstone player. That skill set doesn't translate into a lot of other games. And there's only one game in town that you can play. So I guess he's got to come back.
The guy that sold his kidney for an iPhone died.
Well, that was dumb. I mean, it's one thing to have it harvested. It's another thing to give it up willingly.
Oh, we didn't do this one yet, technically. I thought you clicked on it. We got to do this one.
No, we haven't even...
Yeah, it's next. The next story is, what possible commercial fallout could there be from all of this shenanigans? And the answer is, at least one Blizzard sponsor has bailed after Free Hong Kong. I hope that in the time, from the time we recorded this until the time it goes live, that more companies will follow suit, because this is a good idea. Mitsubishi has dropped Blizzard 2 days after the company punished the pro Hearthstone player Blitzchung for... in a statement supporting the Hong Kong protests. It took a little while for us to be notified about this. This is a story from 1029.
It mentioned Mitsubishi Taiwan. Well, that's a Japanese company, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand that part.
Well, it's solidarity. Like, I thought this was a good move because it's not a Taiwanese company. It's a Japanese company saying you're not behaving idealistically.
But it was Mitsubishi Taiwan. Like, the Taiwan...
branch of Mitsubishi.
But why wouldn't the overall Mitsubishi do it?
Well, Mitsubishi Corporate would have had to approve this, so...
Do you think that Mitsubishi Taiwan has that kind of autonomy? Maybe they were just the only one who was doing the advertising because...
Oh, okay.
That's... Although, with Blizzard... I don't know. That was a confusing story. But, you know, good job, Mitsubishi, for taking that out.
That's a sponsor we could get behind. You want to sponsor the Level 1 News program?
But if Mitsubishi has a big footprint in Taiwan, anti-China sentiment might be just the thing to sell cars.
Are you saying it's turtles all the way down? I don't know.
If you want to look cynically at this, Taiwanese people are not huge fans of China, especially not the... side of China who is anti-Hong Kong protests.
Level 1, the most cynical tech news on the internet. Real is the term we prefer.
Wearables. I do not have any wearables. Do you?
I do not. Although I tried the Microsoft wearable for a while because it had some cool technology. They failed to follow through with good software.
Yeah, I just can't see it. I mean, as long as I'm carrying a phone at all times, yeah. Just can't see the wearable. But Google believes that it has a big future. They believe it to the tune of $2.1 billion.
Google has officially purchased Fitbit for $2.1 billion. Good Lord, Fitbit. And everybody suddenly cried out as they stopped using their Fitbit. I don't think anyone's going to care.
Is there a lot about Fitbit that we don't understand? I guess the patents, right? Yeah. That's got to be what you want here. Because Google could build the Fitbit in a weekend.
They actually did build a Fitbit in a weekend, but they lost sight of what a lot of people that use Fitbit like, and that it's long battery life. Because, like, the Android Wear stuff had a lot of the same sensors, but the four-hour battery life was a little bit of a problem.
But, okay, understanding that, I mean, they could clone it, and we don't know why they like it, but they like it. They could clone it entirely, again, in a weekend. It has to be some kind of patent.
The IP protection, yeah.
We'll see. See if that works out for them.
Oh, no, Forbes...
Yeah, Forbes doesn't want us to look at this, but that's okay because it's actually a pretty simple story. You see, when we talk about Huawei and the U.S. government going after them, their response to that was to go to the Chinese government and be like, look, guys, we're getting killed here. What are you going to do? And the Chinese government said, we're behind you 100%. And that means something in China.
Huawei has shot up 66% as Apple plummets. China has given its blacklist verdict, so... Yeah, the article says that people are very nationalistic, and so this trade war means that Chinese citizens are looking at Apple and saying, no, we're going to pass, we're going to go for Huawei.
I've read other stories than we did where people talked about, for example, like when you have to have that app, the Jinping app to get a job and stuff, like walking into a job interview with an iPhone?
No,
not in China. You don't want that to happen.
Not so, now.
Yeah, and this also explains why Tim Cook... is all of a sudden trying to very get real involved. Yeah,
because he knew what these numbers before the public.
And that's a big number. So,
switching gears to hardware news for a second. There's some hardware news. There's going to be a lot more hardware news, but we're not going to talk about that in this because it's not out yet. The GeForce GTX 1660 Super Review, turbocharged 1080p gaming. This one has the NVENC encoder. So there's the 1660... 1660 was pretty lukewarm. We get the MSI version of that, the encoder on it. It's a little weak sauce card overall. 1660 Super, it's got a much better encoder.
These are middle of the road to compete with AMD's cards, but it looks like AMD's cards are coming down in price as we speak.
It's almost like it's a good thing for consumers to have choice and price wars and that sort of thing, because things happen. I think NVIDIA also expects people will buy this as a secondary card to do NVENC for streaming, but the software is not there yet. At least I don't think the software is there yet. They're going to have to work some to enable the magic there for software. But there is probably a secondary market for these lower-end cards to use as a secondary card for streaming.
It's 1080 gaming. If that's what you want, you can have it for value. I got a question, Ars Technica here. this headline? Do we have any proof of this? Because have we not heard this a couple of times before?
Yeah.
I gotta wonder what their inside scoop is.
Yeah, Ars Technica says that Intel has hit their 10 nanometer goals, and it signals a shift away from traditional CPUs. Intel's 10 nanometer fumble might be over, but its newer ventures are always more interesting. So this is the 10 nanometer fab in Arizona, is what they're talking about. So they're saying that because that fab is online and producing 10 nanometer parts, that one is where the 10 nanometer stuff's supposed to come from. It's supposed to be magical. We should know in a few months.
But more importantly, they seem to be way more interested in things other than CPUs. And according to their own propaganda, hundreds of millions of dollars more to be made in that space versus CPUs.
That's what they've been saying. You know, for the last probably three Computex, I was impressed at how much non-CPU news there was from Intel out of Computex. Of course, they've also sold off their modem division. Micron's doing the 3D XPoint memory now. And I would have thought that those were some of the best places that Intel was doing work in non-CPU silicon. So if they've sold those off, they must have something even better in store, right? Oh no, I've messed it up.
Everybody wants to get into the server space and get into cloud storage, but I mean, that seems kind of crowded.
Yeah.
So we'll see. A while back, when everybody decided to have their own games platform, a lot of people left Steam. And it was really frustrating because now you have to have 50 different games platforms. And none of them really succeeded. But what it took was one to come along that is succeeding and has an unlimited budget to bring them all back together toward a common enemy.
So long, Origin. EA comes back to Steam with new games. EA's years-long Steam split ends among Valve's battle with the Epic Games Store. So Epic Games, of course, is Fortnite and that unlimited budget. So,
and that Tencent money. There's just a lot of money behind Epic right now.
This article insinuates that the commission now is 20%, so that means Valve's negotiating.
It's the $10 million thing.
Yeah.
So if your game's going to sell $10 million, what EA game has not sold $10 million in recent history?
I think even like the golf simulator made at least that much.
Yeah, so you get the better deal. So it makes sense for EA because they're unaffected by that limitation. They're guaranteed to sell $10 million, basically. So yeah, kind of makes sense. And Valve definitely has to do something because Epic's got those free games.
Our next story is a little bit of a nothing burger. It has since been corrected, but we're going to tell you about it because it's something you should be worried about regardless.
Well, it's not the first time Amazon's done this.
No. Amazon blames a quote-unquote error for blocking Nintendo resellers from listing products. Yes, if you wanted to sell your used Nintendo stuff, or if you are a refurbisher in your town of Nintendo products, or say you run a pawn shop and you want to sell your pawn shop stuff online, you couldn't do it. Amazon blocked it. But they've since backpedaled and said, no, that was an error. We didn't mean to do that because of counterfeit products or something like that. This is not the first time that Amazon has done this. In fact, a moratorium on used Apple products is still in place.
And they did point out that it was very, very common to get counterfeit because you think about it, 3D printing a cartridge and gluing a stolen ROM in there, not that hard to do. So most people never know the difference.
Yeah.
And it's the same experience you would get. So yeah, apparently.
I think Amazon's going to have to focus on Amazon Basics counterfeits first and then sort of work their way up from there.
Yeah, well, but Nintendo's a big name, and I think this was probably like somebody at Nintendo contacted Amazon. They're like, we need to talk about what we're going to do about this, and they were just a little overzealous. So, AirPods. Boy, you never get tired of seeing people wearing those, huh? That's a real status symbol. Well, there's a new version, AirPods Pro, if you're even cooler. Externally, can you tell a difference?
I think you can. They visually are a little different.
That would have to be right because people need you to understand that they have the better pair.
It's like when the Apple Watch wasn't visually different. They made the button red. It's like, look, it's a red button.
I'm better. Well, they're out and they've been torn down and iFixit has issued them a score.
AirPods Pro teardown confirms they're just as disposable as ever with a repair score of 0. Yes, they are literally garbage.
I think it's F.
Okay.
I think they use the letter grades.
Well, yeah, it's just not. The most interesting thing from this teardown, though, is that the battery is almost the same battery that the Samsung uses, but it's soldered. Yeah, so the battery would be replaceable if it were not actually soldered.
Well, it would be replaceable after you pried apart the, glue, the glue together. Yeah. And then got your heat gun out. And
If you look at the iFixit teardown, though, it looks like an engineer designed it to be at least somewhat serviceable, and Apple was like, nah.
Now, eventually those batteries will fail. Actually, probably fairly soon. I mean, look at that battery.
Yeah.
Good news, though. There's a $49.99 battery refurbishment service per pod. So, and what do they cost? Like $250?
Yeah, they're $250.
So for another $100, you can basically rebuy them. Oh, wow. Good job, Apple. Keep doing what you're doing. Counter-Strike. Now, I've never been much of a Counter-Strike person, but I think everybody knows about the Counter-Strike loot system. They kind of created that thing, right? I mean, they made... God bless them. They made microtransactions a thing.
The hats. Everybody remember the hats?
So I think Counter-Strike was before that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so you got to have keys to unlock your crates, and I don't really understand how it works exactly, but we do know that there was the whole controversy about gambling. Remember that? People were gambling on, and they were like faking how often they were winning on their stream to get paid under the table. Well, this is even darker.
Nearly all, in quotation marks, Counter-Strike microtransactions are being used for money laundering. And I was like, wow, who's saying this? That can't be real. Valve. Valve are the ones that are saying this. At this point, pretty much all the microtransaction activity on Counter-Strike is part of a money laundering operation. A global, worldwide money laundering operation.
It's... kind of a brilliant way to do it, but it has to be tedious. I guess you just use bots to do everything.
Still, it's horrifying.
Yeah. And what's... I mean, that's a lot of money in Valve's pocket, because they take a little piece of every one of those transactions, right? So if you're getting, like, big drug money through that, wow. Props to Valve for pointing that out, because they could have just sat back and collected the the illicit money.
I think they have for a long time.
Now, a lot of people... have pointed out in the comments that they watch this at a higher speed than it normally plays.
Hey, that's cool. We get the engagement for that.
Now, that might be indicative of attention span problem or other mental...
We also talk slow.
Discrepancies. Yeah, but, I mean, this is normal human discourse. Now, I get it because I've entered that, like, you know, realm of attention span. Where I listen to TV shows while I play video games. And it drives me crazy because they're putting so much Spanish in modern TV shows. I wish they wouldn't do that. I got nothing against Spanish in TV shows, but I hate having to alt-tab out to read. It's really annoying. And I think Netflix has figured out who its audience is, because this is an interesting move.
Netflix planned to test varying play speeds has met filmmaker backlash. So one of the filmmakers took to Twitter that was like, change this. Don't make me... like, go on a crusade to, like, kill you all. It's like, I will raise an army, and we will not permit this.
It is funny because this is similar to, you know, the like, the HDR settings? They're on a crusade to change the TV settings because they said that's not, like, the film experience. But would you lose that much watching a movie in slow motion?
Or fast motion.
I mean, yeah, fast motion. I just watched Better Call Saul, and some of the scenes in that show are so drawn out. And I was just like, oh my God, get to the point. And it just be like slow camera pan. It's like, I get it. You're trying to be artistic. But let's just tell the story. And I guess that's probably not the way you should be. You should, you know, enjoy things in your life. But
The pan across this motherboard in the motherboard review was supposed to be exactly 8.6 seconds, and that is how you will watch it.
Yeah, it's kind of like that attitude. You know? It's a little snooty, maybe. Maybe it's not so much art as it is just, you know, mindless entertainment. That's what you just accept it for. Well, Ripe, at least in the UK, where Ripe operates, I think I said it's kind of branches out more of Europe, right? And some of the Middle East. Anyway, it's an IP provider, and They announced in 2012, hey guys, listen, we're out of IPv4. And everybody was like, whatever. And now, after all this time, they're like, no, seriously.
We're out of IPv4. Time to adopt IPv6. There's literally no IP addresses left.
So yeah, that's basically the story. They're like, hey, they've got an interesting chart here. So it's like different levels of, and we're down into this.
It's the emergency zone.
So they're saying, for sure, no, sometime in November, of course you can't say exactly when, you don't know how quickly they'll be going. Probably after they read this headline,
yeah.
Almost immediately.
Panic. People yeah. are like, I was going to plan to roll out a couple servers next year. Let's just go and get those IPs.
Yeah. So you're going to have to go to 6. And they talk about how, of course, 6 is ready, but most people have not prepared for it.
No. Most ISPs haven't prepared for it.
So that'll be a mess. Maybe you should prepare for it. Don't say we didn't warn you. Have you ever, you've used Uber, right?
Oh, yes.
I've not. What do you do, like 15-20%?
No, usually the app pops up with a suggested tip, and I think it's less. I think it's only a few dollars.
What's the, like, you know, a regular cab, what's considered good form for that tip?
Most of the cabs in the US, I usually don't tip because it's usually a horrifying experience. But cabs overseas, I usually will tip because it's nice and it's...
But that's not expected in a lot of those places.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an odd situation. They're like, oh, no, you silly, idiotic American. There's no tipping here.
Apparently you are the exact opposite of the norm.
Yeah.
Because in most cases, people do exactly... In both cases, they do the opposite of what you just said.
Nearly 2/3 of Uber customers don't tip their drivers, study says. Now, one of the reasons I tip Uber drivers is because it generally costs dramatically less than the equivalent cab ride.
That makes sense. And you do, I don't know how common this is, but they seem to go out of their way sometimes.
Yeah.
Now that I think would deserve it.
Yeah.
But
sometimes, like if they've got bottled water or something like that in the car, I will definitely give them more money in the form of a tip if I partake of the services in the car.
Now, The Verge points out that almost no one does it, and the reason they suspect, and I think I definitely agree with this, is because there is no face-to-face. Like, the tipping transaction happens when you've already walked away from the car.
Oh, yeah. You do it on your phone.
So, you don't have that guilt of, like, you know, walking away from a table, leaving nothing on it, and having the server look at you on the way out. The judgment is removed from the situation.
They got a little bit of a twitch in their upper lip there. It's just like, what have you done?
But again, I think people would tip a regular driver because they're paying cash.
A cab, regular cab driver? Like a New York cab driver? I didn't think that was a thing anymore.
Well,
maybe this explains my whole New York cab experience.
You're on a blacklist. Anyway, Uber people don't get a tip. I think also a lot of people don't... It's hard to separate, like, you know that Uber's taking all these extra charges, and they don't go to the driver, but you're still having to pay for it.
Ah, yeah. See, so that's upsetting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think Uber's kind of like Instagram's. Like, 13 people were running Instagram when it was worth $1 billion. Uber needs to be about a 25-person company.
Oh, well. They're working on it. Not by choice. And speaking of Uber, this is going back in time to when they had their big hack. And we're finding some things about it now because, you know, it's all playing out in court and everything. It's not good.
Uber allegedly paid $100,000 ransom and had the hackers sign an NDA after a massive data breach. So I guess technically they could call it not a data breach if the hackers were like, all right, we won't give anybody a copy of this.
Yeah, but there's no way to be sure of that. And then you know they kept a copy.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But the other thing is, if you're the hacker, how can you be at all confident that you're not walking into some kind of sting?
By signing the NDA? Yeah, I think you would just like randomly say something and then just be like, nope.
You'd have to like show up in person, right?
Not necessarily. Could be like, it could literally have been an NDA signed by J random hacker.
Yeah, well then just fake it. Oh, that makes no sense. The whole story is just insane.
Uber makes no sense. Have you seen stories about the CEO? It's crazy.
Well, he's out though, right?
Yeah.
So, but this was under his regime, I think.
He's out, but the company he built endures for better or worse.
Well, that seems to be a repeating thing with this whole, like, you know, unicorn IPO type deal. The guys that are good at getting the venture capital are the Uber and WeWork kind of guys. But then when expected to actually deliver a profitable company, I can't do it.
Or the Elizabeth Holmes type.
Oh, that's even better.
Is she getting off less easy because she's a woman, or more easy?
Why?
That's engagement challenge.
That's subjective.
But looking at these exit CEOs for WeWork and Uber.
Cancel culture is going to come after you for even suggesting it. I wish Krista was here because we've talked about this before with her. Krista has this insane idea about rearing children. Now, she has said...
That might be part of why she's not here.
This is... you think the Blue Plus? She has said, and this is somewhere in a news video, you can go dig it up if you're so inclined, that she does not intend to give her child access to a smartphone until the age of 16. I think that's crazy. There's no way. Because that's weird now, but the 2 to 3 to 5 years when she has a kid, and then 16 years after that, no way, no way.
The majority of 11-year-olds now own smartphones, and experts are worried. When you raise the question of kids not having phones at all, parents balk. How can we do that, they ask. But what alternative is there? It wasn't super long ago that there was no technological option for kids to have phones.
But now there is. And all the other kids are going to have them.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be...
an arms race.
I mean, think about how you're going to stifle your kids' social life if they're not on WhatsApp. You know, on the group chat.
This article didn't really get into it, but there was a related... I saw this covered, I guess the study or whatever, covered somewhere else, or maybe it was just serendipity. But the other side of this was that smartphone use and, like, using a lot of gadgets does not imply technical aptitude anymore.
Oh, no. No, because you're not... There is no learning curve.
Yeah.
In our day, those gadgets didn't work.
There's just no other way to put it, really.
And that the
snake oil, if you will.
You learned by getting it to work.
Yeah.
And the cool stuff was behind a command line, or, you know, you'd have to install something, set it up. Like, what a motivator it was for us. The fact that in our day, TCP/IP wasn't part of the operating system. It's like you got the internet service and you're like, yeah, internet service. And you're like, wait.
No, I'm thinking even more insanity than that. It's like, I want to experience the joy of Doom. I've seen people playing Doom, but in order for me to do that, I'm going to have to connect over a long distance phone call to some BBS somewhere, download 5 or 6 different files, which I may not have enough space to store all in one place, and then I can't just uncompress those. I need some other special program that has even more bleeding edge compression than the usual program that I use for compression. And it needs a special flag in order for me to combine several files back into one usable file. Then I have to spend time configuring my sound card, my interrupts, my DMA, my IO port, because the particular system that I have doesn't operate on standard ports. So it's like a week-long ordeal to actually get to the part where it's like, all right, I can play Doom.
Or you take the shortcut where you just save enough money to get the big box of floppies and go to the weird guy's house.
I was the aforementioned weird guy.
So, yeah, I mean, I did that a couple times where, you know, you just show up with a big thing of floppies. And the cool thing about that, though, was the weird guy, like, it was his entire world to give you those things. It was such a sharing economy, you know.
Well, that person had not had human contact up to that point.
Did I just skip one? No, I didn't. So, calling BS on Krista's 16-year-old plan. And maybe we'll find out someday. Libraries. Now, libraries have this whole ebook system.
Which is amazing.
Well, is it though? I tried to sign up for it, and then I was like, okay, I want this book. And they're like, oh, you're going to wait 12 weeks for that. And I was like, you know what? I'm not, because I can pirate it. And to me, it's just like, it's a weird system, though, and it's just going to get worse.
One of America's largest publishers is screwing over libraries. Libraries are fighting Macmillan Publishers over an ebook embargo that would make borrowing new ebooks much harder for folks. So these library, like if you have a dead tree format book, you can buy it and lend it out. Nothing will stop you. But copyright holders have fought that almost all the way back to the original public libraries. And ebooks, like the deal, it is a very precarious truce, I guess, that has been struck between library associations and publishers, because the ebook version that libraries buy is more expensive. The article cites a $13 or $14 book that will cost a library $60, but that book expires. The library has to rebuy it every 2 years or every 52 lens, whichever comes first.
And there's a lag time of 8 weeks. So kind of like, you know, movie comes out in the theater, then you can get it on DVD. Well, if you want to read the book when it comes out, you're going to have to go buy it. You can't get it from the library. Or in some markets, and I don't know how they decide this, I guess big libraries, it will get one copy.
Yeah, it mentions the New York Public Library gets one copy. That's terrible.
And this is a big company. Tor is the one that I recognize. They own Tor, the fantasy. And also, they had another big one too. But anyway, popular books are going to come out, and you're not going to be able to get them from the library for 8 weeks. And then there's going to be this, you know, revolving cost. So that'll mean that if it didn't get checked out solidly for that 2 years, probably won't renew it, right?
Yeah.
Because
the article also says that the publisher thinks the library is costing them money, but then the article did some homework to try to disassemble that claim, and I think they were pretty effective at that.
I don't think that libraries will win. Libraries seem to be kind of a something that's going extinct.
Yeah. I would like for libraries to win. Libraries should win for the future of humanity, but...
Deadspin. And I'm not a big sports guy, so I never really spent time on Deadspin, and I don't really understand what's happening here. But I will say that we get a lot of comments on the news that are like, I don't need politics. I'm done. First of all, good riddance. And second of all, how can you separate politics and technology? Do you not pay attention to what we're talking about? It's in every part of our lives, and politics is massively related to technology right now, more than ever. And that will, it'll continue to be more and more than ever as time goes on, which makes these stories sad.
Deadspin is dead after refusing to stick to sports. So some new owners came in. Deadspin started as a sports blog. Some new owners came in and said, hey, stick to sports. And all the writers quit.
This was, they were a gawker, part of the Gawker family.
Well, that was Peter Thiel killed that.
Yeah, and when it died, they all sort of scattered to the wind. And whoever picked up Deadspin didn't like them mouthing off about non-sport topics. They said, talk about sports or we're shutting this website down.
Did not work out.
Too bad. I don't know if that was a website that people considered good or not. We have all the big new TV offerings are coming out, you know, before the holiday season. Of course, Disney Plus rolled out in several countries. Do we have it here yet? I don't think it's here yet, right? Or is it?
I don't know.
HBO, and then they got that AT&T thing. There's just so many of them. And finally, Apple has entered the arena.
Apple TV Plus meets rivals on originals, but the lack of a back catalog is a big omission. Yeah, so this article is really just saying Apple's charging kind of a lot of money, but they don't have a back catalog of content, but at least they're producing original content.
Do you think there was some secret meeting they all went to, you know, and it's like, all right, we can't agree to be on one platform, but can we all agree to use Plus in the name of our service? Can we agree on that? And they're like, okay, yes. We'll all use the Plus. They mentioned some of the things this thing is starting with. I didn't recognize very many of them. Didn't seem exciting to me.
Maybe somebody in the comments can tell us what they're enjoying on Disney Plus. Is it literally just a tool for placating children?
Not Disney Plus. Disney's got a massive back catalog.
I mean, Apple TV Plus.
No, it's not for placating children. That's Disney Plus. I don't know what Apple TV Plus is going to do. You can't combat that. It's too strong. We've been talking about the war on cash in India. They said that cash was being used for corruption, and they had to do away with it. And then that we pointed out a million different ways that their biometric system and all that other stuff was used for corruption.
They lost all the data on the cows. Their most sacred, like,
But they didn't stop them. They're still, you know, anti-cash. They're going to a digital marketplace and seems to be working.
Google and Walmart helped drive India payments past 1 billion transactions. So Google and Walmart are using electronic payment processing or accepting payment processing, electronic payment processing. And these payments over several of India's largest retailers, people are transitioning to electronic commerce.
How many people are in India?
1.5 billion.
So...
ish.
Not even one person, one time a year, used digital transactions? The number is underwhelming when you put it into perspective, I think. But you got to start somewhere, I guess, right? Screen time. What would you estimate your daily screen time is?
Across all devices?
Yeah, that's weird that this article, did you notice in this article?
Yeah.
I don't think they count. I think they only count the phone.
Yeah. I think they don't ever come out and say that, but it was clear from the context that that's what they were talking about.
So just the phone, what do you think your time is?
Probably like 4 hours.
Per day?
Per day.
So to cut to 14 hours a week, that would be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah. 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 So startup Front pays its employees $200 a month to reduce phone screen time. What we've actually fallen into here with this Business Insider article is a stunt performed by an ad agency to drive interest in Front. Because the startup Front, surprise, surprise, makes some software that will help you organize your life and stuff that you have to do. Prioritize, if you will.
And will monitor your screen time.
And will monitor your screen time.
So which you have to install as an employee to get this $200.
Go send screenshots to HR. Get your money.
But here's the thing. As you pointed out, it's just a phone.
Yeah.
At any opportunity, I will trade little screen for big screen.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's what I do.
It doesn't. How does this help?
I would like to be at my desk more than I am, but when I am called away from my desk, I have my phone, and I'm called away from my desk a lot. So 4 hours there.
They seem to. The idea here is like you're going to spend more time with your family, and you're going to disconnect, and it's going to be great. No, I'm going to play video games. It's not going to work.
I don't know.
I'll take their $200, though.
I was having a big problem the other day, and I actually solved the problem by stepping away and thinking about it and, not doing anything. And then while I was... But I was doing something else, but it was still running in my head.
Yeah.
So
it's that's pretty common. Well, that's difficult to do, though.
Yeah.
And you certainly can't convince an employer that is a valid...
Billable time.
Yeah. So... Oh, Call of Duty. I've not even looked at the most recent Call of Duty, but I guess there is we're back to having a story mode now.
Russians are bad guys.
I thought we'd gotten rid of that, but anyway, there's a story about it, and the Russians don't like it.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare faces Russian backlash because the Russians are the bad guys. Germany called. They would like to lodge a complaint about.
Yeah, it is weird. How, you know, like the historical part of wargaming sets those clear geographic lines.
Yeah.
But they did point out in this one, the scenario that they're complaining about in particular is fictional. Never actually happened. Except it did kind of happen. A very similar thing happened, but it was the U.S. who was the snipers. So, I don't know. Can you really get upset about that? I mean, somebody has to be the bad guy, right?
It's the robot zombies.
I hate the robot thing. That drove me crazy with the as a kid, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon, because the bad guys were just robots.
I was hoping that Krista was going to be here for this one because of the Overwatch 2 trailer. I was going to be like, Krista, what do you think about the bad guys in Overwatch 2 being like the robot zombies? Because there is no more politically safe thing to be the enemy.
That's true. Well, you know what? I think you could get away with making all of your enemies just versions of Donald Trump.
The Secret Service will investigate you for indirectly threatening the president. And it's no, that's not... What?
Wait till he's out of office.
They still... it's a lifetime thing, the protection.
Do you remember pagers?
No.
Pepperidge Farm remembers. Pagers were... I never used one. We were too young to use pagers, really. Yeah. We had no reason. Who was paging us? And but they were a big thing, and a lot of people use them, and some people kept using them even far beyond the age of cell phones, mostly drug dealers, but also medical workers.
NHS pagers are leaking medical data. So this is the National Health Service. Unprotected pager messages are broadcasting health and medical data across UK cities. So somebody figured out that these old pagers, you know, basically anybody with a software-defined radio can just pick up these messages. They're unencrypted. They're very old. It's not expected that anybody would have the technology to receive them. But because it's not encrypted, this is technically okay.
It is encoded, but like many things, you just download a library because somebody's figured it out. And that's what this guy did. Here you go. He was doing, putting all this on intercepting them. And he had a webcam pointing at this screen. But no one knows why. And he didn't secure his webcam. So he figured out the whole radio intercept thing, but didn't know enough to put security on his webcam.
Some kind, or maybe it was some kind of activism. Maybe it was an art exhibit.
But names, you can see here they've redacted like full names, and what's going on with you and your location are all in these pager messages, and they're going out all the time, and you can pick them up, and it's easy to do. Probably is something we could fix. Although, no one's going to invest in encrypting pager messages at this point, right? That's too old a technology. There's no return on investment there.
You're going to have to stop using the pagers. Sorry.
Georgia. Not the Georgia with the peaches. No. The original Georgia.
The one with the eggplants.
The one that was at war with Russia not long ago. They have had a bit of a problem.
Georgia has been hit by a massive cyber attack in a story that I missed somehow. Damn it. Sorry.
Yep, that's pretty much it. They were hit by a cyber... Now, this is a previous presidential candidate right here. And part of the cyber attack was putting this image on everything. No one is sure who did it. Now, of course, in the spirit of modern journalism, they blame Russia. That's what you do. But, yeah, they took out websites. They took out a TV station. Somehow this TV station was so online that they managed to take down the entire signal, which is just incredible. And, yeah, still looking into it. We're not sure what's going on.
Is this an experiment? I mean, I could see why somebody might blame Russia for this. It's like maybe they were experimenting to see if they could cause a political disruption by, you know, I don't know.
Well, I think that politician might have something to do with it. I mean, there's definitely that, like, you know, they had that war, kind of. And then that was all about who controlled it. So, I mean, it's that whole Soviet Union boil over stuff. So.
How long until we have, like, what was the Cuban Missile Crisis? How long before we have, like, the online version of the Cuban Missile Crisis where, like, someone hacks into Facebook and replaces all the pictures with, like, pictures of Kim Jong-il and or Kim Jong-un, and then it's like, who did this? And it was like, well, North Korea, you know, they've got, like, a TI-85 for their most advanced technology. It probably wasn't North Korea.
And we respond with Hellfire missiles?
Yeah.
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 I could definitely see that. That would be it. I'd like to think that the populace is smarter than that and that the lawmakers aren't the kind of people who would go along with that, but we know better. So, do you have a QNAP NAS device in your house? If you do, find the closest blunt object and bludgeon it until it is no longer functional because you're in trouble.
Thousands of QNAP NAS devices have been infected with the QSnatch malware. If you haven't yet been infected, be sure to go for update your firmware. This is a fairly recent issue with these, I thought. I mean, the issue goes back a long way, but it took them a while to fix it.
Well, I think they're just now, it's just now getting out in the wild. Yeah. They probably waited, right?
Now we have to fix it for real.
So, yeah. It's like a remote execution type thing, and just got to upgrade. As usual, it gives you what all it can do. Pretty much do what it wants. Prevent future firmware updates.
That's probably bad.
That's going to be a problem if you've already been infected.
If you're already infected, just get a new NAS. We've got some sponsored content from Synology coming up.
This, I guess this will be our breach of the week, and this is going to affect a lot of people because everybody needs a domain name, right?
Breaches at networksolutionsregistrar.com and web.com have been reported. And so this is Troy Hunt's blog. This is still a developing story. They sent an email that was really cryptic, all of them. It was like, we detected some unusual network activity on this day, and then we pulled some stuff. And what it was like in August, but then some of the registrars reported weird activity as of like October 19th. So if the hackers have had access for that period of time, probably going to have to reset some passwords too.
Well, they did suggest that obviously every time that happens, you have to reset your password. Some of the commenters on this story said, that's weird because I have a lot of domain names with these people. I didn't get an email, but I just logged on after reading the story and I was forced to upgrade my password. 16 character limit.
That's not very secure.
Because we're serious about security. And speaking of passwords, sometimes it's not necessarily a hack or bad security. It's just the fact that people use the same password and that gets leaked. And then all at once, they'll go after one entity with a bunch of known passwords and it looks bad.
NordVPN users' passwords have been exposed in a mass credential stuffing attack. So many of the dumps have been pulled off public web pages, but at least one remains. So yeah, don't use the same password for everything, especially not your VPN. It should have its own password.
NordVPN had another breach recently. It is not looking good for them.
Yeah, well, this one is probably related to the other one, but not sure yet how.
Got to be careful with those VPNs, man. I mean, so many bad ones. And
we still use private internet access, knock on wood.
So far, we've not seen a court case that has said that they will actually give you up. And it seems like, as proven in court, they don't actually log.
Level1text.com/support.
We've talked about Gaggle before, which is a great name for a company. Because obviously the comparison to Google is there. And people are going to, you know, just in your mind, you're going to make that comparison. It has nothing to do with Google. It's actually a horrible spy tool.
So it has everything to do with Google. Gaggle knows everything about teens and kids in school. Gaggle monitors the work and communications of almost 5 million students in the U.S., and schools are paying big money for its services. Hundreds of company documents unveil a sprawling surveillance industrial complex that targets kids and does a bunch of other stuff like that. I was thinking about, like, how is this legal with, like, because you can't target kids for stuff, and then it occurred to me, the school is paying for this. Children are subjected to this.
But they can't opt out.
Yeah.
Which is like, California GDPR kills this?
No, I think that because of the way that this operates and the parents are opting in explicitly, I think that it bypasses all of those requirements.
Oh, because the parent is acting for the student. Yeah. So at the risk of our monetization, here's some words, some things that they look for. And anything, so it's not just your posts, the social media posts, it's looking at those. But any kind of papers you turn in, any kind of communications you have with other students, everything's going through this. And you know they're building a profile. Oh my God, those profiles. The other thing that people point out is how much does this indoctrinate you to, you know, being monitored?
I think if you were just an angsty teenager, because let's face it, your hormones are completely out of whack and you have no idea what's going on. But it seems like it would enter a never-ending cycle of angst. It's like, I'm really angsty, and then this is happening. Now I'm even more angsty.
I'm trying to express my angst, but I keep getting censored, which in turn makes me more angry at the machine.
I think that's probably going to be the most common response.
Or eventually it just breaks you, and you're like, okay, overlords, I will comply. Whatever you need me to be, I'll be. Perhaps the most, when you think about malware on your phone, the worst thing you think about is, I might just have to reset the whole thing. Just start from scratch. I'm going to lose all my settings and everything and all my media, all my memes that I had stored. But it doesn't really get any worse than that. Or does it?
This new Android malware can survive a factory reset. Symantec, and what was the other company they mentioned? They talk about it.
Might have been Krebs.
And they don't really have a good plan for getting rid of it because it embeds itself. But you can check if you have it. It's called X Helper. And this article describes how you can go to settings and to look for applications that are allowed to send you notices on your phone. And it is a platform for worse malware, but this particular malware is not recording your keyboard strokes or anything like that, but it does have permission to install other worse malware. So you're in the car with a crazy person and you need to get out of the car, and resetting your device ain't going to do it.
Every time you dive out of the car, you die and you wake up in the car.
Yeah. It's like Groundhog Day, except you need a new phone.
And that no one knows how to fix it. They estimate that because it's so crazy, but pretty soon somebody will figure this out. But for now, just look at ads, because there's no stopping it. I guess you could throw away your phone.
There's probably a way to like low-level reset or do like a ROM wipe kind of thing, but that's no fun. You got to do that over USB.
Your average user is not going to.
No.
Yeah.
Full and complete reflash.
Yeah, and your phone provider is not going to be a fan of that. Probably going to hit some static there.
I figured our next story was going to be the breach of the week. Because it's you.
But it's not really a breach. Mm. It's more of a bug.
Chrome zero-day bug under active attack. Update your browser now. This is an incredible, incredible defeat of the Chrome browser sandboxing. And, I don't know. Just, this should be worth like $1 million. Like, whoever figured this out.
This is just visit a web page and get hacked.
Yeah.
And get hacked seriously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this one's impressive. Horrible. And they fixed it almost immediately, but
genuinely impressive.
What percentage of Chrome users are currently not upgraded?
Did we just discuss? Well, it's automatic. So ours was freaking out about updating while we were recording the news.
But people will ignore that. I mean, if you don't close it.
I think eventually, like, it'll be like green and then yellow and then red, and then it just does it.
Ours is red.
Yeah, it's getting ready to close itself.
I'm out of date.
You must update. Update now.
Now, I think you can let that run for quite a while. Maybe not them, but they might have levels of... But I've definitely ignored that for a while.
Definitely do not risky click.
Yeah. And actually, they pointed out... what country was it? Was it South Korea? Where they hijacked some major news corporation and used their server for this and got a lot of people.
Scary. All right, we'll see you Friday with nonsense and...
Robots.
Robots.